The Nacmac Feagles peered out at the fluffy flakes from the thatch of Miss Treason's cottage. By the light that managed to leak out from the grubby windows below, they watched the tiny Tiffany's whirl past. "See it with snowflakes," said Big Yan. "Ha!" Daft Woolly snatched a spiralling flake. "You got to admit, he's done the wee pointy hat really well," he said. "He must like the big wee hag a lot."
"It disna make any sense," said Rob Anybody. "He's the winter. He's all the snow and ice and storms and frosts. She's just a wee big girl. You canna say that's an ideal match. What do you say, Billy?" "Billy!"
The Gonagall was chewing the end of his mouse pipes while staring at the flakes with a faraway look in his eyes. But somehow, Rob's voice broke into his thoughts because he said,
"What does he ken about people? He's no as alive as a wee insect, yet he's as powerful as the sea. And he's sweet on the big wee hag, why? What can she be to him? What will he do next? I tell you this, snowflakes is just the beginning. We must watch out, Rob. This may become very bad."
Up in the mountains, 990,393,072,007 Tiffany Akings landed lightly on the old packed snow on a ridge and began an avalanche that carried away more than 100 trees and a hunting lodge. This wasn't Tiffany's fault. It wasn't her fault that people slipped on packed layers of her, or couldn't open the door because she was piled up outside it, or got hit by handfuls of her thrown by small children. Most of her had melted by breakfast time the next day, and besides, no one noticed anything strange except witches, who don't take people's word for things, and a lot of kids no one listened to. Even so, Tiffany woke up feeling very embarrassed. Miss Treason didn't help at all.
"At least he likes you," she said,
while she ferociously wound up her clock.
"I wouldn't know about that, Miss Treason," said Tiffany, really not wanting this conversation at all. She was washing the dishes at the sink, her back to the old woman, and she was glad that Miss Treason could not see her face, and, if it came to it, that she couldn't see Miss Treason's face either.
"What will your young man say about it, I wonder?"
"What young man is that, Miss Treason?" said Tiffany, as stonily as she could manage.
"He writes you letters, girl."
"And I expect you read them with my eyes," Tiffany thought. "Roland? He's just a friend." "Sort of," she said.
"A sort of friend?"
"I'm not going into this," Tiffany thought. "I bet she's grinning. It's not her business anyway."
"Yes," she said. "That's right, Miss Treason. A sort of friend."
There was a long silence which Tiffany used to scrub out the bottom of an iron saucepan.
"It is important to have friends," said Miss Treason, in a voice that was somehow smaller than it had been.
It sounded as though Tiffany had won.
"When you have finished, dear, please be kind enough to fetch me my shamble bag."
Tiffany did so and hurried off into the dairy. It was always good to get in there. It reminded her of home, and she could think better. There was a cheese-shaped hole in the bottom of the door, but Horace was back in his broken cage, making a very faint noise that may have been cheese snores. She left him alone and dealt with the morning's milk. At least it wasn't snowing. She felt herself blushing and tried to stop herself from even thinking about it. And there was going to be a coven meeting tonight. Would the other girls know? Of course they would. Witches paid attention to snow, especially if it was going to be embarrassing for somebody.
"Tiffany, I wish to speak with you,"
Miss Treason called out. Miss Treason had hardly ever called her Tiffany before. It was quite worrying to hear her say the name. Miss Treason was holding up a shamble. Her seeing-eye mouse was dangling awkwardly among the bits of bone and ribbon.
"This is so inconvenient," she said, and raised her voice.
"Ach, you muddlins, come on out. I ken you're there. I can see you looking at me."
Feagle heads appeared from behind very nearly everything.
"Good. Tiffany Aching, sit down."
Tiffany sat down quickly.
"The time like this, too," said Miss Treason, laying down the shamble. "This is so inconvenient, but there is no doubt."
She paused for a moment and said,
"I will die the day after tomorrow, on Friday, just before 6:30 in the morning."
It was an impressive statement, and did not deserve this reply.
"Oh, that's a shame to be missing the weekend like that," said Rob Anybody. "Are you going somewhere nice?"
But you can't die," Tiffany burst out. "You're 113 years old, Miss Treason."
"You know, that is very probably the reason, child," said Miss Treason calmly. Didn't anyone tell you that witches have forewarning when they're going to die? Anyway, I like a good funeral. Oh, aye, you cannot beat a good wake, said Rob Anybody, with lots of boozing and dancing and greeting and feasting and boozing. There may be some sweet sherry, said Miss Treason. As for feasting, I always say you cannot go far wrong with a ham roll.
But you can't just... Tiffany began, and stopped as Miss Treason turned her head fast like a chicken does.
Leave you like this, she said. Is that what you were going to say?
No, Tiffany lied.
You'll have to move in with someone else, of course, said Miss Treason. You're not really senior enough to take on a cottage, not when there's older girls waiting.
You know I don't want to spend my life in the mountains, Miss Treason, Tiffany said quickly.
Oh, yes, Miss Tick did tell me, said the old witch. You want to go back to your little chalk hills.
They're not little, Tiffany snapped, louder than she'd meant to.
Yes, this has been a bit of a trying time all round, said Miss Treason very calmly. I shall write some letters which you will take down to the village, and then you shall have your afternoon off. We shall hold a funeral tomorrow afternoon.
Sorry, you mean before you die, said Tiffany.
Why, of course. I don't see why I shouldn't have some fun. Good thinking, said Rob Anybody. That's the kind of sensible detail people usually fail to consider. We call it a going-away party, said Miss Treason. Just for witches, of course. Other people tend to get a bit nervous. I can't think why. And on the bright side, we've got that splendid ham that Mr. Armbinder gave us last week for settling the ownership of the chestnut tree, and I'd love to try it.
An hour later, Tiffany set out with her pockets full of notes to butchers and bakers and farmers in the local villages. She was a bit surprised at the reception she got. They seemed to think it was all a joke.
"Miss Treason's not going to go dying at her time of life," said a butcher, weighing out sausages. "I heard that death's come for her before, and she slammed the door on him."
13 dozen sausages, please," said Tiffany, "cooked and delivered."
"Are you sure she's going to die?"
said the butcher, uncertainty clouding his face. "No, but she is," said Tiffany. And the baker said,
"Don't you know about that clock of hers? She had it made when her heart died. It's like a clockwork heart, see?"
"Really?" said Tiffany. So, if her heart died and she had a new one made of clockwork, how did she stay alive while the new heart was being made?
Oh, that'd be by magic, obviously, said the baker.
But a heart pumps blood, and Miss Treason's clock is outside her body, Tiffany pointed out. There's no tubes.
It pumps the blood by magic, said the baker, speaking slowly. He gave her an odd look. How can you be a witch if you don't know this stuff?
It was the same everywhere else. It was as if the idea of there being no Miss Treason was the wrong shape to put in anyone's head. She was 113 years old, and they argued that it was practically unheard of for anyone to die aged 113. It was a joke, they said. Or she'd got a scroll signed in blood that meant she'd live forever. Or you'd have to steal her clock before she'd die. Or every time the Grim Reaper came for her, she lied about her name or sent him to another person. Or maybe she was just feeling a bit unwell. By the time Tiffany was finished, she was wondering if it really was going to happen. Yet Miss Treason had seemed so certain. And if you were 113, the amazing thing wasn't that you were going to die tomorrow, but that you were still alive today. With her head full of gloomy thoughts, she set out to the coven meeting. Once or twice she thought she could feel Feagles watching her. She never knew how she could feel this. It was a talent you learned, and you learned to put up with it most of the time. All the other young witches were there by the time she arrived, and they had even got a fire lit. Some people think that coven is a word for a group of witches, and it's true that's what the dictionary says, but the real word for a group of witches is an argument. In any case, most of the witches Tiffany had met never used the word. Mrs. Earwig did, though, almost all the time. She was tall and thin and rather chilly, and wore silver spectacles on a little chain, and used words like avatar and sigil. And Anna Grammer, who ran the coven because she'd invented it and had the tallest hat and the sharpest voice, was her star pupil, and her only one. Granny Weatherwax always said that what Mrs. Earwig did was wizard magic with a dress on, and Anna Grammer certainly dragged a lot of books and wands along to the meetings. Mostly, the girls did a few ceremonies to keep her quiet, because for them the real purpose of the coven was to see friends, even if they were friends, simply because they were, really, the only people you could talk to freely, because they had the same problems and would understand what you were moaning about. They always met out in the woods, even in the snow. There was always enough wood lying around for a fire, and they all dressed up warm as a matter of course. Even in the summer, comfort on a broomstick at any height meant more layers of underclothing than anyone would dare guess at, and sometimes a couple of hot water bottles held on with string. At the moment, three small fireballs circled the fire. Anagramma had made them. You could slay enemies with them, she'd said. They made the others uneasy. It was wizard magic, showy and dangerous. Witches preferred to cut enemies dead with a look. There was no sense in killing your enemy. How would she know you'd won?